This is Gwen Perchbacher, and I'm interviewing Pat Warner at her home at 321
West
5th Street in Salida, and we're sitting at her kitchen table. And I'll just let Pat start to tell you a little bit about her background and Salida, what she remembers about Salida.
Okay. Well, my dad came here in 1900. He was on his way to Mexico. He had graduated in dentistry from the University of Iowa, and then he taught at Creighton University. He met my mother in Omaha, and they were married there in 1900. And then he decided he would go to Mexico. They didn't have any dentists down there, and those Mexicans needed help with their teeth, too. So he and Mama were on the train from Omaha to someplace in Mexico. I don't know where. But anyway, the train stopped in Salida, and it was a big center, you know. The train stopped here, and they brought people in from town, and they sold things, and they had food, and sometimes they were here long enough for them to go up to the restaurants, you know. And there were several trains came in every day, and it was a busy town. And some people got on, some men got on, and they said, "Is there a dentist in the train anywhere? Is there a dentist in the train? We have a man who's suffering so bad, and we haven't a dentist in town." So Daddy volunteered. He was a dentist. Well, so they took him up to, I think it was a saloon, or maybe it was a barber shop. Anyway, someplace, and he put this poor fella down on I thought it was a pool hall table. I can't remember what he told me. It's been long ago they told me. This was in 1900, and he pulled the man's tooth. And, oh, they were so appreciative because he was their good buddy, and they needed a dentist. They said, "Doc, why don't you stay here in Salida? And we need a dentist," and they have dentists come, and then the dentists go, and they come, and they go. "We need somebody to come here and live." So Daddy says, "Well, what do you do here?" And they said, "Well, we hunt and we fish." Well, that sounded great. So Daddy and Mama got off the train, forgot about Mexico, and came to Salida. And that's how I came to be here. So he had a dental practice here. And then my brother was born in 1904. And he also became a dentist, and he practiced dentistry and up shortly before his death, and that was in close to 1960, I think.
What was your brother's name?
Fritz Kelly. K-E-L-L-E-Y was our family name, not just Y, E-Y. Daddy was particular, wasn't spelled right. So anyway, Daddy and Mama had raised Fritz, and then when Fritz was 14, I came along. 14 years difference in our ages. And Daddy, in the meantime, had our house built at 910 H Street. And that's where Jasper Cortez lives.
Hmm.
And that was our home. And I remember Daddy telling about, he was sitting there one night reading, and he was a great reader, and he had all the classics, and he had a wonderful library. And he had his feet up on the cobblestone fireplace. And here came an earthquake. And it was violent enough that it shook his feet off of the fireplace.
Huh.
That was in the wee hours of the morning, I suppose. And I don't know what year it was, but it was long before I was born. And that was just something incidentally, mm-hmm, I thought I'd tell you. So I was born in 1918, and I remember playing in the streets of Salida. They were dirt streets, not nice spoiled ones like we have now. They were dirt. And we had a water wagon that went up the streets. And otherwise, it was so dusty, you know. And the water wagon go up and down the streets. And
to keep the dust down.
And we had ditches running down all the streets. Now we have everything covered with culverts. But there were water ditches, nice little ditches, and we could play in them all the time, you know. And it was nice. And at nighttime, we had street lights, good street lights, not like they are now. We could see through our lights. And kids would play out at night until their parents called them in, because it was light enough to see with those good lights in those days. And kids did play out. They didn't watch television. They went out and played.
And what kind of games did you play?
Oh, kick the can and hide and go seek. I can't remember all the names, but I wasn't a very good game player. I was always afraid of being out in the dark and nobody'd find me. But anyway, they played, and after I moved down here to Fifth Street, my husband and I lived on Fifth Street, and Fritz, my son, used to play out on the corner until it got too late at night, and then all the mothers would be yelling, the kids, come on in. And it was a nice time of life. We went on a lot of picnics in those days, and we never went on a picnic, but what we took along, a softball, and a bat, and sometimes a catcher's mitt if somebody had one. But we always had picnic, and then we'd always play baseball. Everybody played baseball, mamas, daddies, grandmas, everybody. And we loved to play, especially out there in the Poncha Grove. It's out there where Mark Tonoff lives there now. Mm. Among others, and there's beautiful homes out there, but at that time it was all just a grove, and that was our favorite place to play baseball. Everybody in town played out there. Mm. It was grassy and nice and flat. That was a good place to play, but we had lots of fun in those days. At Friday nights we would have band concerts in the park. Mr. Mobeck, who was our band teacher at school, this was in my lifetime. I suppose others kept it up afterwards. I can't remember, though. But it was really every Friday night, that was the thing to do, go to the band concert down here in Alpine Park. We had a nice, whatever you call it, the thing in the middle that they...
Oh, I know what you mean, but I can't...
You know, they'd enter from downstairs and climb some stairs, and then they were up there visible to everybody. Mm-hmm. And the park was a scene of a lot of Salida things. A lot of different organizations would have their doings on in the park. And they had pretty good bands, and it was a thing to do. And the park was always full of people on Friday mm-hmm. night, because it was something to do, and the weather, it was this summertime, not winter. And we had a pretty good band in those days, because Salida, as I was then in high school, got to have a wonderful football team. They just had a wonderful coach, and his name was Harold White. And we had some real talented players in town. And they became so good. They beat every school in Colorado. Anybody that thought they had a good team would say, we want to play you. We played South Denver. We played Pueblo Central, Pueblo Centennial. We played Ray. We played Grand Junction. And everybody. They beat everybody. In fact, they had won for 4 years, I think it was, in a row, without ever losing. Mm-hmm. And they were going to play and had been invited to go to play in Hawaii.
Oh.
They were that good. But that was the year I was a senior. That was 1936, and I graduated in 37. Then we, the coach, Harold White, and some of the players, and Oliver Brenton, who was our star player in those years, had gone rabbit hunting, and in the course of the rabbit hunting, Oliver stuck his head down through a hole in the floor of a cabin, and mistakenly, he was a towhead and looked like a rabbit, I guess. And the coach accidentally shot him and killed him. So that was the end of our... Well, it just tore up the town. Beside, it ruined the Harold White's career. He never got over that, though he continued. I know it was never the same. And it took the heart out of Salida. And poor Kale, Oliver was to graduate with my class, 1937. But that was the end of our... We played football then, and I think that was the first year that we lost the state, was that final game. It was on Thanksgiving Day. Wasn't much to give thanks for that day for our town.
Do you remember some of the names of the people that played football?
Oh, yeah. Most of them were my classmates at that time. And started out with... He was one of the first ones. There was a Scudder, and McJunkin, Merle McJunkin, and Earl Taliaferro, and Frank Gentile. He was really a good player. My gosh, he was good. He was short, but boy, was he a good runner. He was a honey. And he's all related to the Gentiles here. And Allison Binns and Noble Binns and my husband, Stan Warner, and Hurtis Severson, Floyd Chambers. He became All-American. And if I can only find those papers I'm looking for. Anyway, and they all went on. Every one of those players went on to college and pursued a good career, usually in athletics. Tuffy didn't become a coach. He was in business, and he worked for General Electric and other businesses, and had his own business.
And who was Tuffy? What was
Tuffy his? Chambers.
Chambers.
His name was Floyd.
Floyd.
And his daddy was a railroader, and he and Mrs. Chambers had a family of boys. And from Salida, the daddy was transferred to Pueblo, and Mrs. Chambers lived there until she died, still in Pueblo. And Tuffy went on from Salida. He went to Northwestern University, where he graduated. And Allison Binns went to Denver University. They all had college careers. All of these kids who played football were snapped up by colleges, and they all went on to further their careers in life. But it started with Salida's football. And the townspeople, they supported the football so much. They had special trains. The DNRG would run a special train when we'd go to Pueblo and Trinidad. And everybody in town would go. Most of the businesses closed on Saturday to go to the football games.
Oh, my.
And if they were out of town, some of them even did, because nobody was left shop. We all were on the train, and they made the rates real low because the kids could go. I can't remember now, but I'm sure that it couldn't cost us more than $2 to make a round trip to Pueblo or Trinidad, and long trains too. And they were just full of our team, and then the townspeople, some of them would go in the car, but mostly the train was a good deal, you know, and because it took a long time. And it was in the winter time, and the trains would carry us through. It was really exciting because the town people all supported us.
Okay.
And Leo Snyder and Ray Snyder.
Okay.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about some of the kids that were on the football team when it was we were the state champs. Sam Provenza and Leo and Snyder and his brother Raymond Snyder, and I think Bud Law was on it, and
Meryl, can you think of anybody else?
Well, there were the Hyatts. There were quite a few brothers in the Hyatt family. Melvin was one of them. Bud was one. And I'm sure there were others. I just can't recall their names. But the Hyatt brothers were football players. And Allison and Noble Benz. And Stan Provenza, who's still here in Salida. And Bobby Ferrero. And Lloyd Nacarato, and the Snyder brothers, Raymond and Leo, they both became dentists. But they played on the winning teams. I can't remember anymore just right now. Let's see. I'll tell you about after we... we had a good time growing up, though. There was always the football games on Saturday night, and the special trains that we had to go to the games out of town, the big cities, and it was just lots of fun. And on Saturday nights, there'd always be a dance. Every Saturday night, there was a dance. You always had a date for Saturday night. And they had them up at the HB&V Hall up here. It's over, we used to call Cruz Beggs. Mm-hmm. And it's an insurance business now, Hightower's Insurance.
Oh, and that's where the dances were?
Upstairs there. Uh-huh. That was the HB&V Hall, good hall. And we danced up there, and that's where we had our proms mostly. And also we had them in the Elks, too. Hmm. They let us have our dances and dinners down there. When we were seniors, or juniors and seniors. We had a lot of fun with dances, and then different girls and boys, mostly girls, would have a party, and you'd be invited to the party, and they'd be in the basement of the library. Mm-hmm. And they had little... dance programs, and we'd go to the dance, and this boy would ask for dance number one and somebody else number two, and then they had a program too, so they knew who they were dancing with. It worked out good. You got to mix with everybody, and you just had a great time, and we had pretty good orchestras too. The Benz Boys played mostly.
I was going to ask you what kind of music you
had. Oh, they had good, really good music, because everybody played music in those days. There wasn't a house in town that didn't have pianos. And if you didn't have one, well, your neighbor did. And everybody could play the piano, even if it was just a little bit. But you could play, and we all sang. And there was kids that played the horn, and a lot of the kids played accordions. There was a lot of accordion teachers. We had some good accordion players here. And music and singing. And it was a big part of our life, just the music. Yeah. And what else? Let's see. And the we played cards a lot too, and we played, this was our family and friends, we played pinochle a lot. Gosh, a lot of pinochle. And I can't remember, rummy, I guess, but there was a lot of card playing. We didn't just sit around and get into trouble at night because there was something to do. And
Well, now, were these card games, were they just like the kids, or was it parents that got together and then the kids played too?
Parents and kids, yeah, parents and kids. Yeah, because I can't remember just us kids playing together. It was usually parents or grandparents, somebody else thrown in, but we played a lot of cards and had popcorn and there wasn't, I don't think we drank Pepsis or Cokes or anything like that. I can't remember that. Maybe we did, but I can't remember any big refreshments. Mostly it was just playing cards, and maybe we had popcorn or something like that. And later on, when I was an adult, my husband and I loved to play cards, and everybody in the neighborhood played pinochle, and we'd have some real good pinochle parties, and we'd have food, and it was just lots of fun. And everybody, like I said, everybody sang and played. And Elva played the piano, and I played the piano, and everybody could play the piano. My neighbor, Neota Birgarch, and we all had, Georgie M. Heiser had a piano. Everybody in this block had one. And it wasn't that we were rich, but pianos were cheap, and you had to have a piano. And we just really had a lot of singing and had a good time. And we used to always say, this is just a little street where old friends meet. And we celebrated in the best of times. We sure did. We had a lot of fun.
Well, who were the teachers of the piano? Did your parents?
Had a lot of piano teachers. Oh, yeah. I took lessons from Mrs. Blunt, and then there were the Catholic schools were prominent at that time, and they were going real well. And the sisters, they had Catholic sisters who were really good piano teachers, and they taught a great deal of the kids that went to the Catholic school. And Mrs. McNamara was a piano teacher, and Mrs. Sweeney, her sister was Julia Wagner. They ran Wagner's Drugstore. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Sweeney was a piano teacher, and Mrs. Blunt and Mrs. Sweeney, Mrs. I want to say Mrs. Payne, or I better not say, I'm not sure of the name, but she lived up on F Street. And there were a lot of piano teachers, and good ones too. And every kid had an opportunity to play, whether they wanted to or not. My kid took piano lessons, and he just didn't like it. Finally, he said to his piano teacher, that was Mrs. She was a school teacher, and I can't remember her name, begin with an S. She was his sixth grade school teacher, too. But he said, I have to quit playing this piano. He says, you know what? I've decided all my left hand is good for is carrying school books. So that was
the end of,
the end of his formal education on the piano.
Oh, I'm a mouse of kids.
Yeah. let's see. Well, anyway, people just visited a lot. And one time, Stan, my husband and I had our birthdays one day apart. And so we had the neighbor over here next door, Mrs. Beauregard, and a bunch of our friends got together and had a surprise party for us. And we were invited over to Neota's for Neota and Dex Beauregard to have dinner that night. So we went over there for dinner, and that was nice. And we were getting ready to come home, and pretty soon here's the darndest racket. And we opened the front door, and the street was crowded. And there were probably, I'm not lying, at least 70 people lined up. And they were coming to celebrate our birthday. And if we didn't have a party.
How was Salida different when...
Is it on?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was so friendly. It really was a friendly town. you go down the street and you say hello to everybody, and everybody say hello to you, but you know each other. We all walked. We'd walk to town all the time, and now you have to get in the car, and you'd say hello to kids, you know, and they'd say hello to you, and they were respectful and nice. And I noticed the difference now. When I used to walk the trail and I'd see little kids and I'd speak to them, and every once in a while one of them would speak to them. And that kind of hurts, because it's a friendly town, and then you can't speak to the kids because their parents have taught them not to speak to someone they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of miss that, and that isn't good.
It's sad.
It is sad. I think it's sad anyway. But that's the way it is in the cities, and I suppose the parents who move here are used to the city ways, and they don't know that it's a friendly little town. And it may not be anymore. I still think it is, though. It isn't the same as it used to be, because the newcomers who've come here don't trust us. Because of where they lived, how can you think people are different? But it was a nice, friendly little town, and kids got in trouble then just like they do now, but not as much, not bad problems. On Halloween, it'd be bad because we all had soap and we soaped the windows, and then the police would come and arrest us and say, "Will you be here tomorrow at 4 o'clock and you'll wash these windows that you've dirtied up?" And so we'd all have to clean up the windows the day after Halloween.
So that's how they took care of it.
You had to clean it up. Yeah,
yeah.
They'd come and say, "Be here tomorrow night." They knew us. It was a little town, and you had to show up, clean up your windows. So anyway, I was telling you about the party. I guess it was just a nice party. Everybody came. That an awful lot of people came, and the house was bulging. And we danced and sang and just had fun, because everybody sang and just had a fun time. And what else? But, you know, then pretty soon here came television. Well, we had the first television in this part of our town. I mean, in this little neighborhood. Stan bought a pretty good-sized black and white TV. Everything was black and white, but it was pretty good sized. It was a Philco, I remember that. And the men loved it for the baseball, for the World Series. And my brother had a lot of friends in Gunnison, and they all came over to Salida, and I lined up the chairs in the living room just like a movie theater. And the men would come over, and as soon as they finished, well, they probably closed their businesses that day and came over to Salida. The ones that came to my house, anybody closed their businesses. One of them was a banker, and one of them ran a clothing store. But they had to see the World Series on television, and the Gunnison didn't have television yet. So they came to Salida and watched the ball games here in my house. And, I'd make donuts and popcorn.
Do you know about what year that was?
When that first came? Let's see. I think it was 1950. It was either 1952 or 1954. I don't know why those 2 years stick out in my mind. I went to work in 52. I went to work at the hospital in 1952. So I don't know. I might that have that. That was probably about the year it was, though. Yeah.
And so what did you do at the hospital?
I worked in the office. I did books and receptionist, and then I went to work for the doctor's offices across the street for Dr. Hoover and Dr. Phillips. And I liked my work there so well, and I liked medical work. So I stayed in that building from 1954, I think, until I finally retired 28 years later. Oh, dear. But I enjoyed medical work and worked for nice doctors, too. And Dr. Weber started him off.
Can you see any changes in the medical field compared to when you were working and now?
Oh, yeah. It was so friendly then. Everything was friendly then because we didn't have to deal with insurances. A lot of people didn't have insurance. We did. They had good insurance, and it wasn't hard to do. You know, Climax had Blue Cross, Blue Shield, and other people had their other private insurances. But just a matter of filling out forms, and it was easy. But it wasn't like Medicare. Once Medicare went in, why, that was the end of friendliness in the office. But I enjoyed the people, and people are nice. And I miss people. I sure missed them when I quit working. Once the TV came in, everybody stayed home and watched their own TV or had their friends in. Everybody had, it became more separate then. We didn't go out and play cards as much, except on certain nights. And it's few of us kept it up. But there was, finally, people were getting rid of selling their panels. They were in the way and they were too big. And we had to make room for the TV. And that was sort of the end of the sociability of the town. Mm-hmm. It really was, I think. It sure ended a lot of the closeness among the neighborhood.
It made a big difference.
It sure did. It sure did. Because we were close. The whole town was, I'll say, we were close. We knew everybody.
Can you think of any special events that Salida had that you recall?
Oh, they used to have a lot of American Legion conventions here and Elks conventions. And I remember when I was about 12 years old, 13, they had, I think it was an American Legion convention. And they had a mock trial. They called it a badger trial or something like that. Anyway, they'd get some poor unsuspecting man who was not with the convention or anything. He was a traveling salesman. Had a lot of traveling salesmen. We had a big hotel in town across from where the city clerk's office is. That was the police station. Mm-hmm. And it was called the Rainbow Hotel. It was a nice hotel, and that's where the traveling salesman would stay there in the Palace and Sherman Hotel. We had three nice hotels. But this happened to be this particular day. This man was staying at the Rainbow Hotel, and he got picked up by the police, and they hauled him in, and here was a trial going on. Well, it was a mock trial, but he was the only one who knew it was. And they, it was called a badger game, and he supposedly had a dog that tried to kill the badger, or vice versa. I don't know how it was, but it was... I was a kid then, and I don't remember, but it was all mock. But the poor man was on trial for his life. They had a judge there, and the real lawyers were taking part in it, just scaring the dickens out of this poor man. It was funny, but that was part of the entertainment for the weekend. He was the only one who didn't know he was the entertainment until afterwards.
Well, what happened to that hotel that was across from the...
They tore it down. Gee, it was a nice hotel because my dad and mother and I lived there after we sold our house. I got sick when I was about 6 years old, and we moved away for a few years. But during the time that we'd sold our house, why, we had to live in a hotel when we come to Salida. Mm-hmm. And so... we stayed at the Rainbow Hotel, and it was run by friends of my parents. It was Phil and Amy Philbin. Mm-hmm. And they had two daughters. One was about my age. Her name was Phyllis, and her little sister was Betty. And their mother was a real beautiful woman. I remember that. And... they ran the hotel, and it was nice, and it was always full. You know, everybody came to Salida. It was a railroad center, and the hotels were a good business in Salida.
Would that have been at First and E then?
First and E. Uh-huh. It's where those figures are now, the animals next mm-hmm. to what used to be Argus Brothers Garage. Mm-hmm. It was several stories high because it had an elevator. Mm-hmm. Because I know the second story was where the Philbins lived, and I think we lived in the third story above the Philbins whenever we stayed. It was the round window in front of the building. It was shaped like that, and this was round here. Mm-hmm. It was a nice building. And what else? Another thing we had that Stan, my husband and I bought 80 acres up North Fork in about 1952. Yeah, that was 1952. I went to work. Everything happened that year, I guess. And anyway, we built a cabin, and we built it on the North Fork, and I like, because I like to hear the water run, so we were across the river. And so Stan had a blade on our Jeep, a snow blade. And he says, I'm going to make a little waterfall here so you can hear the water. So he took the blade and made a nice little waterfall. And we went home, came to Salida. Next week we went up, and the beaver had taken over that little waterfall, and they built a lake. And you couldn't believe it. It just missed our house. It was so big and deep. I have a picture of my dad out fly fishing there, and the water was up to his chest.
My goodness.
He wore those waders.
Waders.
They come way high mm-hmm. over the chest. And Daddy was, he dressed so beautifully. My dad always wore a shirt and tie. And here he was out fishing with his shirt and tie on and his waders and his old fishing cap. But he was fly fishing, and he'd catch them. And we had some real nice parties up there. The fish came to that spot. My husband built a little pier out there, and we'd walk out there, and you could cast off and catch all the fish you wanted. And one time, people came up, but we didn't know were coming, and more people came up that we didn't know were coming because they heard we had a cabin. We wanted to see the cabin, and so they came over. Well, there was a friend of mine there. His mother was Ann Evans. She was ended up being one of my best, dearest friends. And he ran a restaurant here. His name was Bob Evans. And he married Helen, who was used to be Helen Nottrieb. But before that, she was Helen Evans. And he married her, and they ran a really nice restaurant in Poncha. And he was up there because I guess the restaurant was closed that day. And my brother was such a fisherman. Oh, my, he could fish. And never with anything but hand-tied flies. He never used a worm or anything like that, or those little eggs, nothing. Just hand-tied flies. He did his own fly tying. And I still have his old cap. No, his hat with beautiful flies on them. Oh, so tiny, you can hardly see them. But he could catch them, and he always had three flies on his rod. And he would cast out, catch his fish, and he caught fish faster than Bob Evans could clean them right there. So we had to feed everybody. But he caught fish that fast out of there. And I remember I had a skillet that was, oh, it was extra big size, and a coal stove. And we fried those fish. Must have fed 25, 30 people that day. Those fish right out of the river.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was just wonderful.
Is it still there, the cabin?
Yeah, the cabin's still there. It's been sold. It belongs to... our cabin is now owned by the son of the people we sold it to. We sold it to Carolyn, who was then Pollard. Her name is Bender now. And her son and has, I think that's his cabin now. Anyway, his name is Pollard. And her name is
Bender. Did you say?
No. We had a nice time up there, and we had lots of property. And little by little, more people came in and bought sections of it. And Kenny Lytle and his wife have a nice home up there now, and the person, I don't know their name, who bought the major part of it. Rex Rhodes has a cabin up there, and the Mendocinos have a cabin. But I can't remember, I don't know the new people who own it. But there was about 80 acres up there, so it's mostly in the land held by
private
one person, private property now. But it was enjoyable to have. We really enjoyed it. I can't remember much else to say about the old times in Salida.
How do you think the population has changed in Salida? I mean, as far as the numbers.
You know, Salida always wanted to get to be 5,000. Oh, we want to be 5,000. This year we're going to make it. And finally, one year we did make it, and now I think it's sort of just held steady. It's finally over to five. It's over 5,000 now, but of course that takes in a lot of extra outlying districts now that people didn't used to live way out like that. But they have the means to live out there, and they have the facilities, the utilities rather.
When you were in high school, did they have buses to pick up the kids that were in the country or not?
Well, there was a few. Yes, my husband drove a bus for Cecil Watson. Cecil had a bus line, and Stan drove for him, and they picked up quite a few outlying districts. And then there was, like Ruth McKean, Ruth Shepherd, and she gathered the people from Maysville down into Salida. And I think Helen Kuroch gathered some from that direction, south of town.
Hmm.
And I can't remember, but Stan enjoyed those kids on his bus. I remember Freddie Lowry was on the bus. The time Fritz was, or Stan was driving, and I remember Freddie and his little sister Linda Hibbs now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and she was just probably starting school about the time Stan was driving the bus. And he enjoyed those kids, gosh. And they had good discipline on. He kept a firm discipline. There weren't any unruly kids on his buses. And I don't think there were any unruly kids on any buses at that time. I wouldn't say today. I think things are different today. I think the kids ruled the drivers, but in those days they didn't. The drivers ruled the kids, and they were good kids.
Okay. How about the dress? Have people changed a lot in how they dress?
Oh, yeah. We used to dress up. Gosh, we all wore nylons, and we all wore heels, and we always wore a hat. And we got a new hat every year for Easter. If we had anything else, we had to have a new hat. And we'd go to town, we'd always wear a hat, and we had gloves. We wouldn't go to church without hat and gloves, you know. And then it got to be the war years, and, well, even after the war years, we were still dressing up with heels. And then, I don't know how we got into slacks, but once slacks came in, and women saw how comfortable they were, we got into slacks. But then we wore high heels with them, and that still was okay. But now, the low heels are more comfortable, and so we got away from the high heels and the slacks. And we wouldn't have ever worn slacks to church, but now it's very rare that you go to church and see somebody dressed in a dress. Well, I think they're coming back to it now more, but slacks are a lot more comfortable. Mm-hmm. But we always had our hair curled. We all had permanents. If we didn't have curly hair, we got a permanent. And now I think they just let their hair go. It looks like they don't have much knowledge of combs and brushes sometimes. But they live an easy lifestyle now, where we used to have to be more structured, or
I guess I think probably structured is a good word.
Mm-hmm. Dressed up a little more, mm-hmm. we thought anyway. And I just don't.
Pat, are there some local people that from the past that stand out in your mind?
Yeah, especially close to me was a Dr. Schaefer, Dr. T.L.A. Schaefer. He was a surgeon and a great one. And he was a major in the Army in the First World War, and he and my daddy were best friends. And I always called him Uncle Doc. And he was married to a lady named Pauline Gilray. She was from Coaldale. And the Gilrays were a prominent family down there. And Doc was part of my family, and he just was a wonderful surgeon. And he had no kids, but he loved kids so much. And he always bought a new Packard for himself and a new one for his wife every year. They each had a Packard, brand new every year. And he was going up the street one day, and I know it was up on G Street about, I've heard the story so many times, about 9th and G. And some kid came running out in front of him. And these were dirt streets, you know. And kid came out and made noises and stood there in front of him and jumped up and down like kids do. And Doc had to put on the brakes or hit the kid. So he stopped the car, he got out, and he got the kid, and he spanked him. And then he took him by the hand, and he says, "Now take me to your house." So the kid led him to the house. And Dr. Schaefer, when the woman came to the door, he says, "My name is Dr. Schaefer." And he says, "I've just saved your child's life." He said, "I spanked him good because I was ready. He was going to get run over. You've got to teach the kid to stay out of the street. The cars are on the road now." So he scared the tar out of that kid. But that was a funny story. I'll always remember that. But he loved football. And he'd been a football player in his life. And he, as a matter of fact, he graduated from the Denver University, I think. Where they must have had their medical school there. That's where he graduated. And he had a brother who also was a doctor and who had graduated from there. But he loved the football team, and he just followed that team everywhere. And as a matter of fact, he gave Oliver Brenton a place to live. Alberta Mitchell's daughter lives there.
On G Street?
Yes.
In the 900?
Yes, 9 something. Well, Doc had that built. And in the back of it, he had a little house out there with several rooms, as I remember. But he made that available to Tuffy because Tuffy lived up Butte Trail. Not Tuffy, Oliver Brenton. They called him Sully. And he took in Sully because he needed a place to stay while he played football. And so he was sort of adopted him. And he lived out there in his own little house in back of Doc's and Polly's house. And Doc just loved those kids on the football team, and every year after they'd win this championship, he gave them a gold football, a real gold football that he had Mr. Steinberg, had a jewelry store. I think his name is Steinberg, ran a jewelry store in Salida, and he made them all tie tacks. What they used to call them, they held a tie in.
This tie tack.
They were on a chain,
mm-hmm.
And with the dates engraved on them, as Salida high school state champions in the year 1932, 33, 34, 35, 36. It was just ongoing. And he was their sponsor, and he had his big Packard. He never missed a football practice. He was out there every night. And they loved him. Everybody called him Doc. He was Doc.
Which one of the hospitals did he practice at?
Oh, yes. He practiced at the Red Cross. The Red Cross was a big two-story hospital on 2nd Street, just off of G, where the Masonic Hall is now. It was two-story, red brick. And that was built, I think, by Dr. Kokums. And he was also a surgeon and a very good one. And he ran the hospital, or he was a surgeon, physician surgeon there, but mostly surgeon. And Dr. Schaefer was likewise a physician and surgeon, and had his office there in a little red brick building just between the hospital and what was in the Presbyterian Church on the corner where that coffee place is now, or whatever it is.
Pizza place. It's a 3rd and G.
Yeah, 3rd and G. Yeah.
West 3rd and G.
Yeah, well, Doc had an office there.
No, I'm sorry. That's West. 3rd and F Street.
Yeah, between F and G on 3rd. And the hospital was right across from this building that Mr. Goddard ran. And it was Goddard's Garage. Mr. Goddard was... He worked on engines, and I mean, he made engines. I don't know what the proper name for that is, but he wasn't just a mechanic. He was the guy who made them. And he built this beautiful engine, and it was probably, as long as this room, it probably was 8, 10 feet long, beautiful model engine, perfect, perfect. And then he made the little cars, and in later years, they built tracks around it, and it ran around the swimming pool up here. And I remember when my son was little, we'd take him up there, and he'd get to ride around in the train. He'd haul the kids around in it and blow the whistle and ring the bells for him. It was a beautiful train, and Slida, I'm sorry they lost something when they sold it, but they sold it to, I think, the town of...
Tiny Town,
I think that's where it is, in Tiny Town. It's a beautiful thing. But that was built by Mr. Goddard.
Something else you were telling me, Pat, that the Red Cross had a nursing...
Yeah, that where they trained the nurses there. For nurses training, they didn't... I guess all the nurses got their training in those days in hospitals, did they not? And Salida was a training hospital, the Red Cross was, and... Most of the old-time ladies here in town who were nurses got their training there. And somebody I know has pictures of them, or we've seen them in...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think I've seen them in the library, pictures of them. And some of the ladies who trained there... can you remember some of their names?
Katie Frayne, I think, was one.
Was she?
Or if she worked there. And Mrs. Fisher, possibly.
Yeah, Mrs. Fisher, Doreen. Mm-hmm. And that woman that she used to live, she was married to Moore. She was married to Ty Moore.
No.
Well, anyway... Lucille Murray, she was one, and Norma Claire, she became our superintendent of nurses at the hospital.
Right.
Norma Claire trained there.
What about M. Heiser?
Georgie, no, she went, I think she trained at Mercy Hospital, wasn't it? Mercy. And then when she came back to Slida, she worked at DNRG Hospital. And lived there in the nurses' home that they had at the DNRG. They had the nurses' home down there.
Do you know when the Red Cross Hospital closed?
Well, my son was born in 39. He was in practice then. I think it closed probably, I want to say, during the war. I kind of think it had to close then because we were short of doctors and nurses and everything at that time, and the hospital then, the people, well, Dr. Coakins had, Dr. Shaver had died, Dr. Bender also practiced there too, and Dr. Coakins had died. So they were the two main ones at the Red Cross. And I think Dr. Bender went to the DNRG. I'm not sure. Catherine wouldn't know about that. Her dad was, Catherine Krabari was Dr. Bender's daughter. And so it closed then, and it was a nice hospital.
Well, is there anything else that you can think of that you'd like to tell me?
I can't remember too much. This is the olden days. This is all really before the... Well, it ended up after the war, but it ended up in, with my story about in the 1950s, early 1950s.
What about during the war? What did you do then?
Well, during the war, I worked. My husband was in the Army. All our husbands were in the Army or the Navy. And we had a little, the women would get together in darn socks and men kids' clothes and put patches on their knees. Darn socks, can you imagine? I mentioned that to somebody the other day and they said, "What are you talking about? Darning socks." We all had little spools that we'd put in. And I was so tickled the other day, I bought something at a yard sale and it had the spool in it to mend the socks with. Gee, I really got a prize there. But that was our, that's what we did. We sewed and stayed home and sent letters and sent goodie boxes to our husbands and met the trains, and a lot of the girls in town met boys from Camp Hale and married them, and some of the men came to Salida to live, like Mayor Tober. He became our mayor. He was from Camp Hale. He met his wife here, and a lot of the girls met boys from here, and I think another one was Harold Bud Tonoff's brother married during the war, and his wife married somebody from Camp Hale. His wife's sister married his wife's sister married somebody from Camp Hale, and there was parties and dances going on for the kids at that time, but I didn't participate in that because my husband was gone, and so I stayed home and raised my kid, and I worked for my brother who was a dentist, and my dad, and so I did the book work at the dental office, and that's, you know, we were mighty glad when they came home. And over what is now Lollier's was Alexander's drugstore. And the whole side of that building, it was a brick building, and they had painted an honor roll of the boys who went into the service. And as they went in the service, they paid their name on there. And I'm sure you've seen pictures of it with hundreds of names of all the men who went to the service. That was neat to see. You could point up to your husband's name and
made you feel good.
Your son's, yeah.
Well, thank you, Pat. I really appreciate your time and effort, and maybe we can come up with some pictures.
Yeah, I will. I really will try to get you some pictures of all some things that might go along with what I've said.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.